Procrastination is often rooted in deeper psychological mechanisms, such as fear of failure, perfectionism. It's not just a matter of poor time management or laziness. Welcome to the Core Happiness Podcast. I'm your host, Casey Banks, a mindset and positive psychology coach. On this podcast, we discuss all things related to creating happiness from within. So let's do it. Welcome back to the show. How many of you struggle with procrastination or find yourself procrastinating because maybe you just don't know where to start? Or you struggle with lack of focus because you're pulled in so many different directions and you have so many distractions? Well, today we're going to talk about why we procrastinate and then look at a couple of techniques we can do to reclaim our time and help unleash our potential and boost our productivity. First, let's look at why we procrastinate. This might be new information, but it's not just a matter of poor time management or laziness. Procrastination is often rooted in deeper psychological mechanisms, such as fear of failure, perfectionism, the allure of instant gratification. These are just a few things. So first, let's look into that. Procrastination, we know it as like the arch nemesis of productivity, right? It is the thing that sabotages success. So let's look into one, the fear of failure. It's a primal instinct deeply ingrained in our psyche. The mere thought of falling short of our own expectations can send shivers down our spine, right? It can paralyze us with doubt. Then, speaking of expectations, we have perfectionism. Ugh, that double-edged sword that cut both ways. In one hand, it drives us to strive for excellence and push boundaries. But on the other hand, it can be a suffocating burden. It can trap us in this never-ending cycle of self-criticism and doubt. It's one thing to be a perfectionist, but it's another thing to see perfection as an illusion. It's okay to embrace the beauty of imperfection, for it's the flaws and the mistakes that help us grow. They become the materials that we use for greatness in order to succeed. And then we have instant gratification. It's the promise of pleasure at a click of a button, if we're thinking about social media or our devices. You know, it's just a world where everything is available to you on a whim, right? Smart watches, smart TVs, you can just speak things and they appear now. So it's no wonder we find ourselves in the trap of procrastination. There's so many things that are promising convenience, promising quick fixes, instant gratification or satisfaction. But we know that true fulfillment does not come from fleeting pleasures or quick fixes. We know that fulfillment comes from the satisfaction of a job well done, the sense of accomplishment that comes from overcoming a challenge or reaching a goal. And we also know scientifically that when we are able to overcome something, when we are able to have accomplishment, it increases our self-esteem. It gives us a boost of confidence. While we know these things, our minds can play tricks on us. But it's good to understand why we do it, because that's the first step in defeating it. So now that we're armed with the insights from psychology and neuroscience, we can begin to unravel this tangled web of procrastination and just reclaim some control over our actions and make decisions that would help boost productivity. Let's turn our attention to productivity. And in a world filled with endless distractions, competing demands, how do we carve out space, and not just space, but enough space for deep work and laser-like focus? So let's talk about the power of performance and time management. Now, time management is a concept we are all very familiar with, and yet so few of us are able to master it. But what if I told you that the key to effective time management lies not in squeezing every single moment for productivity, but in understanding the ebb and flow of our energy levels throughout the day? This is energy management versus time management. Now, energy management is just an approach that emphasizes the importance of aligning your tasks with your natural rhythms of energy and focus. And it's inspired by the book, The Power of High Performance, which I always recommend to majority of my clients. Anytime we start talking about time management and not having enough time in the day, I send them the link and I'm like, please read this book. In the book, we can learn to identify our peak performance periods and then strategically allocate most of our demanding tasks to those times. Let's take Jane Doe, for example, a busy professional juggling various responsibilities, but by leveraging the principles of energy management, she's able to structure her day in a way that maximizes her productivity and minimizes burnout. So she gets up in the morning, she works out, she has a whole morning routine, and she has the most energy in the morning, right? The endorphins from her workout, she's just clear, she has just a lot of energy. So she decides to tackle her most challenging tasks during her peak energy hours, which are in the morning. Then she reserves the less demanding activities for periods of lower energy, which for her would be in the afternoon. So that's an example of how to maximize productivity by managing your energy. The other thing that is often talked about in the book, The Power of High Performance, is the need for rest. It really emphasizes that much like how our muscles need recovery to grow stronger, right? It's not just about the workout. It's you tear muscle, you let it recover, you tear it again, you let it recover, you tear it again. That's how you build muscle. But the rest is just as important as the actual workout. With that said, I want to couple that with the Pomodoro technique. If you have not heard about it, it is usually considered the holy grail of productivity and focus. It's a time management method involved in breaking your work into intervals, typically around 25 minutes long, separated by short breaks. It's like interval training for your brain almost, and it allows us to harness the power of deep focus and maintain peak performance. Now, what does that look like? Because I know 25 minutes, you're like, that's not long enough. If I took a break every 25 minutes, I would never get anything done. But let's call her Sarah. And she's a marketing executive drowning in a sea of deadlines and distractions. And she's just frustrated by her lack of progress on her to-do list. And she's like, let me just try this Pomodoro technique. She has a timer and she is determined. She sets her time and she dives into tasks. She has newfound clarity and purpose. And before she knows it, hours are flying by and she emerges, having accomplished more in a single day than she thought was possible. Why? Because when you actually structure your day and break it down, it becomes very clear as to what you're working on. And when you are working against a time, it allows you to be more productive and it really helps with task switching, okay? And then every time you're taking a break, you can go into it with a lot more clarity and focus and determination. So what about those moments when procrastination threatens to derail even the best laid plans, right? You have your plan, you want to try the Pomodoro technique, you go into it, but you can't seem to get started. Sometimes the hardest thing to get started, right? That's where I say the 5-second rule. If you've heard of Mel Robbins, she has a simple yet powerful tool to combat just getting started. And it's the 5-second rule. Here's how it works. The moment you feel the urge to procrastinate or you just even start to hesitate, you count down from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, immediately take action. What this hack does is that it bypasses the brain's natural resistance to change and propels us into action before our mind can kick in and before our inner thoughts have a chance to intervene and sabotage us. So picture this. There's a guy, let's call him Paul, and he's a budding entrepreneur with big dreams, but he has a tendency to procrastinate. Armed with the 5-second rule, he's able to silence the inner critic and make decisive action towards his goal. So whether it's making that daunting phone call, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, dial. Diving into a challenging project, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, start. In that way, Paul would refuse to let his procrastination hold him back by just getting started. Now, another thing you can use with the 5-second rule that works really well together is the 2-minute rule. So once you count down from 5 and you start, then you can also employ the 2-minute rule, which is a powerful strategy backed by science. And it's simple, but it breaks down your task into bite-sized chunks. Okay, so commit to working on them for just 2 minutes. And more often than not, once you start, you'll find the momentum to carry you through. So if a task feels too daunting, give yourself a timer and then give yourself 2 minutes just to get started. Because the hardest part sometimes is just getting started. So even if you want to try the Pomodoro technique, and even if you have your timer and you're like, I'll do the 25 minutes and I will take the break, but you just can't seem to get started, or 25 minutes may seem too long for a daunting task. Count down from 5 seconds, start, and then give yourself 2 minutes once you start. More often than not, you'll find your response will be, well, let me just finish this before I move on. Or let me just do this one last thing. Or I'm almost done. Let me just finish it all. Now, one of the things that we struggle with a lot when I'm talking to anybody about time management or productivity, prioritization. I mean, even in corporate America, how many times are you like, well, what's the priority? Why does everything seem like a priority? How do we discern the important from the urgent when everything seems equally important and urgent? That's where the Eisenhower Matrix comes in. So it's a time-honored tool for making tough decisions and prioritizing tasks based on importance and urgency. So how this works is we categorize tasks into four quadrants. Quadrant one, important and urgent. Quadrant two, important but not urgent. Quadrant three, urgent but not important. And quadrant four, neither urgent nor important. Once you prioritize those tasks, you'll have a very clear prioritization, which will go from priority one all the way down to priority four, which is least important. An example of this is take a guy called Mark, for example. Mark is a professional. He's overwhelmed with this never-ending to-do list. He goes in to work every single day, and it's like the to-do list just continues to grow. And he just can't seem to get on top of everything because everything is important. But by applying the principles of the Eisenhower Matrix, Mark can go in and identify his top priorities and focus his energy on the tasks that align with his long-term goals rather than just being bogged down by the tyranny of simply urgent. So that allows you to, one, tackle the things that are important and urgent and important but not urgent. And then if you couple this along with managing your energy, you can also do the non-urgent or important tasks. So your priority three level, your priority four level at times when your energy is the lowest. So you see how a lot of these can be used together. Now, I'm going to do another example. Say there's a student. Let's call the student Emily. Emily is a dedicated student. She has dreams of academic success. Yet despite her best intentions, she finds herself procrastinating on assignments, succumbing to scrolling on social media, or maybe she just Netflix and chills too much. And then she stumbles upon the revelation of the concept of structured procrastination. So instead of fighting her natural inclination to procrastinate, she learns to channel it towards productive tasks, right? By creating a hierarchy of priorities and tackling less urgent but still meaningful tasks while she's feeling unmotivated. That not only beats procrastination on its own, but it helps to make meaningful progress towards goals. It helps with boosting the productivity in the long run. And then the last one I want to talk about today is environmental redesign. This is also a powerful strategy backed by science, and it really just works by optimizing your physical surroundings for productivity. We can create an oasis of concentration amid just the chaos of everyday life. I don't know if you've heard of authors who often have a space that they write in where they feel motivated, where it just seems like they can shut out the rest of the world and just focus. The same thing happens when you work from home. If you have a dedicated spot or home office that you work in versus, you know, the living room or the dining room table, a dedicated spot actually helps with productivity and focus. So whether it's decluttering your workspace, minimizing digital distractions, harnessing the power of natural light, working near a window, adding in greenery, bringing in nature, plants, just any small change to your environment can yield massive improvements in our ability to stay focused and get things done. That's a lot to cover for one episode, so I'm going to stop there. But we've talked about the power of high performance, managing energy and not time for productivity. We've talked about the Pomodoro technique, which is breaking tasks into intervals, usually no longer than 25 minutes, and then taking breaks. We've talked about the 5-second and 2-minute rules to get started and overcome procrastination, as well as the Eisenhower Matrix for prioritization and environmental redesign to help with focus. So the next time you find yourself stuck in a productivity rut, take a cue from nature, embrace the power of the micro break, whether it's a quick walk around the block or a few minutes of meditation, or just simply close your eyes, take a few deep breaths. Just stand up, move around, just shake it off, shake your limbs, get the blood flowing. Just any small moments can work wonders for mental clarity and productivity. But the battle of procrastination and the pursuit of productivity is definitely not one that happens overnight. Different things work for different people. And as I mentioned, a lot of these techniques can be used together, or they're also effective on their own, but you might have to experiment and just see what works best for you. But armed with the insights and techniques we explored today, I have no doubt that we all have the power to overcome any obstacle that stands in our way. And we are all able to transform our relationship with productivity. And we can all achieve greatness in all areas of our lives. So remember to embrace your natural tendencies, optimize your environment. Never underestimate the power of a well-deserved break, and never underestimate the impact a small change can make to your productivity and overall well-being. Until next time, keep striving for greatness and never stop reaching for the stars. I thank you for joining me today. If you enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to rate it or leave a review. If you have any thoughts or questions, I would love to hear from you. You can email podcast@corehappiness.com. For show notes and additional resources, you can visit www.corehappiness.com. As always, please remember, never let anyone diminish your light. Until next time, sending you my love.